In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There are two ways, a way of life and a way of death, and great is the difference between those two ways. There are only two religions, two kingdoms, one of life and one of death, and great is the difference between those two religions, those two kingdoms. Like oil and water, they do not mix. Broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many travel on it. Narrow is the road that leads to life. And so on this day, we give thanks to God for revealing the kingdom to us through St. Luke. His words are still heard in our ears. Through him, God revealed the kingdom is found solely in Christ, and through St. Luke, he has revealed that it's a kingdom for all nations. Luke himself was a Gentile. A Gentile is anyone who is not a Jew. He is probably from the region of Antioch, Syria. He was a doctor, a physician. He was a faithful traveling companion with St. Paul on his second and part of his third missionary journeys. And when everyone else left Paul as he sat in prison, Luke remained. Tradition has it that he died a martyr's death, though the details vary on that. So he wrote of the kingdom of God. He begins his gospel with the angel Gabriel appearing to Zechariah in the temple. The kingdom of God was at hand, and it would be prepared by Zechariah's son, John the Baptist. And Zechariah did not believe. The kingdom of God was near, and the very priest of God found it too illogical to believe. So God made him mute. Doubting is the way of death. And doubting is the default of all nations because this Christianity is too illogical. It doesn't sync up with man's reason. Wide is the gate. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. And many travel on it. Their safety in numbers. Many travel on it. In fact, every man and woman who has ever been born is born on this other road into this other kingdom. So it should not surprise us that unbelievers do not act like believers. It should not surprise us that their morality and so their laws are vastly different than what we hold dear. It should not surprise us that unbelievers act differently than believers. They're on a different road. They're part of a different religion, regardless of what name they give it. They're part of a different kingdom. And great is the difference between the two. St. Paul was such a man. He persecuted the church of God. He had the scriptures. He knew the word of God. In fact, he studied under one of the most prominent rabbis of the day. And yet he did not know the word made flesh. He did not know Christ, and so he lacked the kingdom of God. The kingdom does not come through knowledge of Bible history. It comes through faith in the crucified one. He lacked the kingdom of God, and so he lacked peace. Agitated and constantly searching for any kind of peace, you see him running around persecuting the church, trying to attack those who are on the other way. And yet never fully having peace. We too, we're no different. Our lips have been mute. Our minds have wandered. We have balked at the very words of God and have found them too illogical for our reason. We have glanced over toward that other kingdom, toward those on that other way, to look at what kind of fun they are having. Our sinful flesh likes the things of that kingdom, popularity, success, money, pleasures. It's a different kingdom, a different way. And yet our eyes still gaze over to see what's going on over there. The way of life, however, is found solely in Christ. In Christ and in Christ alone, God's kingdom is located in the flesh and blood of God himself. God made a promise to Adam in that garden. He made a promise. The seed of the woman will come and will crush the serpent's head. And so Luke traces the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam. The Savior is for all nations. He is a Jew, born from the line and house of David, but he is for all peoples. He will reign over all peoples forever. And so Christianity is not some new religion that was started in the first century. It did not replace Judaism, but it started all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Adam walked that same road. Along with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob walked that same road, and all believers, for there are only two ways, two kingdoms. There are and have been only two. One of life and one of death. And so we can rightly call Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob Christians because they believed in Christ, the Christ who was to come. Gabriel announced this good news of the coming of God's kingdom in the flesh to Mary. Only St. Luke records that holy mystery for us in the words of Gabriel. Only he records the birth of Christ. You will be with child. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. The kingdom is found in the flesh of this tiny little child who cannot even sustain his own life, and yet he sustains the universe. He is the fulfillment of every promise. He is the seed of the woman promised to Adam and Eve. He is the one who will bring peace and joy and salvation to all. And he has come in the flesh. Like Zechariah, Mary heard impossible words. And yet in humble childlike faith, she believed. Through Gabriel's words, God was implanted within her womb and she conceived. For where God is, there is the kingdom, and so there is peace. This kingdom of peace, this way that leads to life, this Jesus, he is for all nations. It is true, he is a Jew, but he is also the God of all, the King of all. Listen, as St. Luke records the words of the angel to those terrified shepherds, "Do not be afraid," he says. "For I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people, a Savior for all." On that first Bethlehem night, as the fields shone, there in a tiny manger lay God himself, a gift to the whole world. The glory of the Lord shone in the fields, and yet his true glory is found in that manger, for God had become man to save man. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, the angel sang. Indeed, this is a glorious kingdom which God has established. It is a glorious kingdom because it is a kingdom of victory, whereby God, through Christ, has reconciled the world to himself. In this child there is peace, a reconciliation between God and man and God, between you and your brothers and sisters and all people. There are only two ways. The way of life and the way that leads to death. Great is the difference between these two ways, and when we sin, we choose the way that leads to death, even if it doesn't hurt anyone else. But in Christ, the kingdom is now restored. Nothing could keep Jesus from his cross. It is the climax of all of history and the pinnacle of Luke's gospel. It is the very reason why the apostles went forth to preach in the book of Acts. Nothing could keep Christ from establishing his kingdom at that cross. For there is no other name given to men by which we must be saved. By his bloody death, the enemy was defeated. By his cross, the gates of hell were closed, the path that leads to death shut off, and the path that leads to eternal life ripped wide open so you might travel. You are on a journey toward life because of what Christ has done for you. It's the way of holiness. And only those who believe in Christ travel on this way. It's the same way Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob walked, and it's a way that you know what the end and outcome is. It's not an easy way, not by any stretch. For as Christ himself said, we are lambs amongst wolves. And yet it is a victory procession. For our King, our Good Shepherd, walks ahead of us. He has gone the way of the cross for us, so that we might walk the way to heaven. How agitated the hearts of those Emmaus disciples were, as Luke recounts, as they, on that first Easter evening, walked toward Emmaus. Their leader was dead. His body was missing. They didn't know what to do. And so the Lord himself walked among them and opened their minds to the scriptures, showing them that it indeed was necessary for the Christ to suffer and die, and then to enter his kingdom. His kingdom is a glorious kingdom of victory. And as Jesus pretended to go on further, they urged him to stay. So he did. He took bread. He gave thanks. And he gave it to them. Take and eat. Then he disappeared from their sight when they recognized him. For the kingdom is no longer found in the visible presence of Christ, but it is found in the invisible, sacramental presence of your Lord and God. And as those disciples hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples of what they had seen and heard, Jesus himself stood in their midst. In that upper room, peace be with you. Peace be with you. It's a kingdom of peace because it's a kingdom of victory. There is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For now we go through these things because we are on the way. Soon we shall enter the fullness of that kingdom. Soon we shall enjoy the peace which transcends all human understanding. Christ sat with those disciples. They touched him and handled him. He ate a piece of broiled fish with them, for he comes to live among his church. He comes to feast with his church, to give them the very strength for this journey heavenward. And so through these stories, St. Luke is not simply recounting history for us so we can pass a quiz. He is pointing to us the way that leads to life. He is showing us the kingdom of God that has been established by Christ's cross. We pray, thy kingdom come. And God's kingdom has come to us. Each and every week it rushes into our hearts, led by the King himself. Through the words of his ministers, the King himself is implanted in our hearts even as he was implanted within Mary's womb. He reigns in you. He lives in you. And so you sing with Simeon. You run to Bethlehem with the shepherds. You run to where Christ is found. For he is your King. He is your King who gives you his peace. He rules in your hearts and in your minds. And like those Emmaus disciples, you find him where he is no longer visibly seen. He is still present among us this day through word and through meal. He is present. Take and eat, he says. Here is your strength. Here is your peace. Indeed, God's kingdom has come to us yet again to deepen our faith, to grow our hearts in the knowledge of his salvation. In the Acts of the Apostles, St. Luke records the gospel rippling out from Jerusalem. Little by little it grows. And by God's grace, those ripples have reached our shores. It has reached our hearts. We have the kingdom of God because wherever Christ is, there is his kingdom. The peace of Christ rules in our hearts, and so it should not surprise us when believers act like believers. Our feet are set on the way. We are on the right path that leads toward heaven. And great is the difference between those two paths. By God's grace, he strengthens and sustains our feet on this journey until we finally see the Lord with our own two eyes. So we can depart in peace from this house. We can depart in peace from work. We can live in peace each and every day. Because God has given to us the kingdom, a victorious, glorious kingdom. It's a kingdom of peace. And by God's grace, we thank him yet again that he had used St. Luke to show us this glorious kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.